Shabbat Shalom. This is the news, according to me. Yes, we're coming up on the time of Shabbat. Peace. As the sun goes down here in Milwaukee, where I am now. I'm now in a hotel room. But unfortunately, the heating system, the air conditioner here, whatever it's called, I don't know what it's doing at the moment. I think it's heating because it's about 40 degrees outside. I think it's making a lot of background noise. So I want to apologize up front for that right now. I'll try to do what I can to make it the best I can. I'm going to surround the microphone here. I'll get up real close to the microphone so you can't. I'm just going to summarize the entire, news cycle here. For going into the weekend, we're going to talk a little bit about what we're doing. Somewhere I had, in fact, I'm going to get it. Just stand by 1 second. Most importantly, I have a Chick-fil-A sweet tea right here. It's mostly ice, I think. I think they filled a cup up with ice and then they put tea in it. And of course, by the time you get it drank, it's still about half ice and tea's gone. So I'm getting close to the bottom of it. I got to let it melt a little bit, let it water down a little bit. I can let it water down a little bit. It's not too bad. So here we go. We're going into the weekend, end of the month. This is our third month now. This is the first quarter we're ending here. I know that many of you have been working on your taxes. Have a little news for you. It's not due until April 15th. However, normally due on April 15th, that's what I meant to say. I believe they've extended it for 1 month this year again. Last year they extended it quite a bit, like 90 days or something. This year they've extended it 30 days, as I understand it. I've already got mine done. I'm just waiting for the lady to get back with me and sign everything and send in a big fat check. Probably. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Whether or not we're going to have to send a check in this year or not, because I didn't make nearly as much money this year, or last year, I should say, this past tax year, as I did the year before, which, I made too much to get a stimulus check in 2019. And in 2020, of course, things fall apart. You don't make as much, but you don't get a stimulus check because you made too much in 2019. That's how that works. But I digress. Everybody's still talking about what Joe did. There's big arguments about how, he did a great job, he had a good day. Everybody's talking about that on the left. Everybody thinks he had a great day. I think they were all nervous. They were afraid he was just going to fall over and pass out right there, or just have a blank out, I guess, in spot. He made it through it, so he had a good day. If that's a good day for Joe, we're in big trouble, folks. I have to say there were times I was pleasantly surprised when Trump would step into the podium to answer questions. I wasn't sure what he was going to do, what he was going to say. never knew with that guy. But he's been a businessman most of his life, and he knows what he's doing. He can do that kind of stuff on the fly, and stick it to the press. He's just good at that. And he's been doing it. Now, Joe is a good politician. He can do it in his sleep, obviously, because he does. But some of the things that they're saying now, the filibuster, it's ridiculous that we're even discussing this. Of course, now there's a couple of news agencies that are doing a very good job of replaying speeches made by Obama and Biden and other politicians about the filibuster. And how they, when they were not in power, oh my goodness, you better never take that filibuster away. Oh, it's a part of our democracy. It's the foundation of our country. Everything, of course, they always have to make, you know, those kinds of pathetic statements. Everything's a national emergency, a constitutional crisis on their end. I think what they mean is a constipational crisis. They seem to, you know, because they want to pull a Nadler about every time that the Republicans talk about doing something. But they don't. They don't care. They don't. This time around, they're like, oh, it's a throw. Everything's racist. You know, when everything becomes racist, then nothing is racist anymore. And I am sensing that with all the rhetoric coming from the left right now, that there is more tension than ever before, and it's caused by this rhetoric. It is absolutely out of control. Everything is racist or homophobic or transphobic or whatever it is. It's either phobic or racist. I'm racist-phobic. I hate racists. And even, I have to say, even that statement is not easy for me to make. I hate racism. I don't hate the racist. And I know that there's a thought for you. Have you heard anybody say that? Hate the sin and not the sinner? Because when you put someone in that pigeonhole because of something that they believe, now you have labeled them and cast them. You're the one casting them out of society, giving them no hope. And this being Friday and getting close to the Sabbath, and just with the Easter season coming up, I wanted to share a little something. This thought crossed my mind today, and I had a little chance to ponder it, but I think I'll ponder it with you, if you don't mind. Indulge me a little bit here as I speak. I'm going to get off the politics thing for a little bit. Once in a while, you'll hear someone say, they have no hope, or I have no hope, or I've lost my hope. And if that's, you know, a lot of people will say that. People will say that without any real, they're saying it, but they really actually, when it comes down to it, they still have a smidgen of hope in them. You know, I heard this little speech one time where the guy said, you can live for, is it 40 days without food? You can live so many days without water. Is it 5 days or whatever it is? You can live a certain amount of days without something else, and then about 2 minutes without air, or whatever it is, 4 minutes without air. But you can't live a second without hope. And that's probably about true. Because most people who decide to end their lives prematurely, tragically, have given up hope, typically. Typically. Not always. But that's typically the way things go. Or they have too much guilt, or they lose hope. Now, think about that statement for a moment, from a Christian perspective, from a believer and a messianic believer perspective. To say that you have no hope means that Jesus did not hang on that cross. That Messiah's sacrifice was not enough. Because as long as he's there, which he, you know, I'm not saying he not is in the present, but he is on the cross, in the grave, risen from the grave, all at the same time. That's a time continuum mystery. You'll have to figure that out. But I'm going to I'm going to kind of say that right now. What he has done is done forever. What he did on the cross is done forever. It's not just done for that day, and he has to do it again tomorrow. It's done once and for all. For all time and for all people. As long as he was on that cross, there is hope. As long as he is risen from the dead, there is hope. And as far as I know, he hasn't fallen back out of the sky. So, if there's even an ounce of belief left in you, you have hope. And if you just need someone else to believe for you, then find that person and latch on to them and say, I'm having a hard time believing right now. And I know that a lot of people are. There are more people than you realize that are at that stage. People who you would think have very strong faith sometimes are in that moment in their life where they're giving up hope. They're having doubts in their faith. Serious doubts. I'm not just talking, you know, questions. They're having. They're seriously giving up. Not they don't believe in God. They're just giving up on God. For one reason or another. And I could go into a really long explanation of some of the reasons that people do that. Not all the reasons, but there's various reasons why people go there. And how they get there is just that life isn't easy. And sometimes expectations and what we think are the promises of God are not fulfilled the way we think they should be fulfilled. And therefore we then throw it back in God's face and say he's not there for me. But I cannot speak to your situation necessarily, specifically, because there's too many of you out there listening. However, he can, or someone near you can. So, in this time of turbulent craziness, when we see what seems to be the book of Revelation unfolding before us, certainly seeing the birth pangs that Jesus spoke of, and the direction that society is going. I mean, where are we going to be in 10 years? In 20 years? Not too far down the distant future here. I'm concerned for kids. I'm concerned for the young people on this planet right now. I think that society is about to take a turn. Tyler Brand, maybe? British guy. He's kind of a comedian sort of slash philosopher slash, he's got a YouTube channel. Maybe I could find it here. I'll take a look and see if I can find it real quick. Because he does do, he's probably not going to put anything out today anymore. I don't see it. It's not there. He just put something out early this morning, but of course I have to try to go down through about 25,000 different headlines before I find it. So anyway, one of the things he said was there's this quasi, kind of a quasi-Puritan morality that is being imposed on society, that's almost the best way I would know of to define this thing that's happening. I find it to be mostly a self-righteous virtue signaling kind of just a faux purity. There's no There's no redemption. There's no, you know, if you did something on Facebook 10 years ago, you're going to lose your job. If you had some kind of a post, if you ever said anything that was, you know, the things we say today will probably be offensive 5 years from now. And what will the punishment be 5 years from now? It's, I mean, for saying something that is your opinion. Speaking your opinion, and maybe it might be a biblical belief or a belief of your faith, could be something that would outrage the societal norms. They would consider you an extremist, worthy of being sent off to a detention camp or even worse. Because we are headed that direction. And don't tell me it can't happen, because it has happened in the past. And with technology being what it is now, if you don't think that your phone is listening to you all the time, if you have an iPhone, just say, "Hey Siri," and see what happens. There goes my phone. Did you just hear that? It just went off. That was actually my iPad. It heard me, and it's 4 feet away from me. It's listening to everything I say. The other morning I was playing solitaire in bed. I usually try to, you know, I wake up, kind of play solitaire a little bit, kind of get my brain going. I usually play a couple games. I usually play the daily challenge. And there's a couple other challenges, and there's like a bonus things or something. I usually try to do those. There's like three of them. So I try to do those. I try to play five games. I try to win all five, and then I try to do all the daily challenge stuff and all that. That's how I wake up in the morning. And sometimes I don't have my glasses on, so I'm holding the phone, you know, fairly close to my face, and sometimes my hand is kind of giving out, or one of my eyes is fuzzy, so I'll just be looking with one eye, so I kind of hold it closer to my face. And at one point, right in the middle of the game, just recently, the phone, the game pops up with this menu, says, "Do you want to have the cards in larger format?" Well, why would I want them in larger format? To make it easier to see? Because you know that I'm holding it so close to my face? How would you know I'm holding it so close to my face? Unless you can see me. So what is happening there? You have a camera on both sides of your phone, and you carry it with you everywhere. You do banking on your phone. You do all those things. A lot of your passwords now are stored in your phone. It's just a matter of time, folks. They can track everything, and it's all being tracked. Don't think otherwise. There's I could get into the whole conspiracy theory thing. That's for a whole different podcast. That's going to be coming up here soon. In fact, it's going to be launched sometime in April. It will be called The Conspiracy? It's a question mark. The Conspiracy with a question mark. And it'll be little conspiracy stories, you know, kind of the top conspiracy stories. It will also be in conjunction with a book that's going to be coming out about the conspiracy. It's going to be talking about all the different aspects of the conspiratorial sides of everything in life. Everything from education, food services, systems, the security systems, you know, all the institutions of things like banking. Banking is a big one. The money system, that's a huge one. It's a huge part of it. Travel. Identity. Ownership. Different things. Food is a big one. Education is a big one. And how all these things will, and industry and, you know, products and those kinds of things, how this is all going to come together, and my predictions of how this will all work, and my theory of the conspiracy, because I believe there is a conspiracy, but it's not what people think necessarily. It's not what people think of when they think of conspiracy. So, you know, things like the Bilderbergs and the societal, you know, the Vanderbilts and the Rothschilds and Rockefellers, all those things that are happening. All the societal constructionists out there, and their part in all this stuff and how it all works together. Big box stores, shipping, commerce, stock market, all that stuff. All kind of gloms together into this big thing, and how it's all going to affect our lives and how we're going to have to plug into this. Scripture says at some point we'll all have to have a mark in order to buy or sell. We're getting close to that now. The technology itself is not necessarily going to be a bad thing. Somebody's not going to come out and start forcing everyone to take the mark. As we've seen right now, if this vaccine thing, you're going to be shamed into taking the vaccine. That's what they're trying to do now. Well, you don't care. You don't care. You're not going to take a vaccine. You can protect grandma. Just different things like that. And even the wearing the mask thing is a shaming thing more than anything. If you don't want to wear a mask, or if you're not wearing a mask, you're terrible. You're a terrible person. I'm going to stand here in the middle of the store and scream and yell and spit all over the place. Spread more volatile stuff around. We're heading down this road, and I say these things to, you know, not necessarily to comfort you, but to remind you that this stuff is real, and it's going to manifest in ways that I think we have these ideas of how things will manifest, and yet I don't think we fully understand how surreal it will be, how weird it will be. So it's, you know, when stuff like this happens, like this last year has been so surreal. And it seems like, you know, it's just like something biblical is happening to the entire world. Something is affecting the entire world, and it just seems kind of unreal almost. Like it's a bad dream kind of stuff. So as we move forward in this, it's just difficult to imagine or understand and how it's all going to unfold. It probably will not be the way the movie Taken or whatever, not Taken, whatever's Left Behind, the Left Behind series. If you've ever seen that back in the day, I think it was back in the 80s, the Left Behind series was out there, and it was kind of a spooky kind of story. A lot of churches played it, and they had Bible teaching along with it. And it was the traditional Western interpretation of Revelation and Daniel, Book of Daniel. So it was, and not always, you know, it may or may not be quite correct, but so those things are unfolding, and I just don't want you to be caught unaware, to realize that we need to step back sometimes and really see the evidence of things unseen. You know, where things are going, who's controlling the narrative right now? You know, who's all the, you know, you typically will see the news organizations, they kind of go down this one particular road. They typically react. They don't respond. They don't really think about the news that they're putting out. They simply react in the same way. And all the conservative newscasts and commentators will say one thing. All have the same talking points every day, it seems like. And the Dems do the same thing. You know, the leftist media has the same kind of talking points. So it's just interesting to see that unfold and the way it works. So let's look at a couple of the headlines that we're going into the weekend with here, and things to keep your mind on. One of the things is this whole thing with the Congresswoman from Iowa. Keep that on. It's still on the radar. They're still pushing to do it. A lot of Democrats are very uncomfortable with it in the Congress because they realize the hypocrisy. It's gotten so blatant that even they're having, you know, being uncomfortable about this whole thing. To try to recall this lady is very, very concerning for them. A lot of them live in kind of, you know, purple states. They're not quite blue and they're not quite red. or some of them are actually in kind of more red states, and they just happen to be in a district that they were elected. Washington Post backtracks on no migrants, migrant surge. They got a no migrant surge headline. This is something to keep in mind, too. Biden says this happens every year. This kind of a increase, this uptick, happens every year. It's to be expected. It's happened every single year. This begs to a couple of questions. One is, if they were expecting it, why weren't they prepared for it? If you knew this was coming and it's such a normal thing, it happens every year, then why were you not prepared for this? He had these weird statements about saying that, well, there was 31% increase when Trump, you know, was in office, and nobody said it was because he was a good guy. No, there was the reason there was a spike in 2019 in the surge at the border when we had that kind of a crisis after, you know, actually, which was 2017? 2017. It was 2017, I think. It's because the NGOs, the non-government organizations, who were funded and backed by people like the Tides Foundation and all these other foundations that are out there, they wanted to stick the border with people and put and create a crisis to make Trump look bad. They were hoping for an event. Now there were a few children that died, and that they tried to make that the event. How many children have died in this particular? Any child who dies in the facilities, any child who dies of anything, pre-existing condition, doesn't matter. If they die, that should be blood on Biden's hands. That's what we were told about Trump. It was blood on his hands. He killed those kids. Children are dying down there. And with, you know, with like 30,000 kids down. And I guess I did not get to see the report of the congressman who, I think it was the senators. Senators went down there today, I think, and had they just went, basically walked around wherever they wanted to and went and saw the situation, the facilities. Just made themselves at home. And my understanding, it was pretty outrageous what they were seeing, what they were describing. I'm going to be watching some reports later on tonight. H.R. 1, there's some Democrats that don't like H.R. 1. Which is interesting now. There's going to be some back flack on that one. I think they're pulling back a little bit on their support for that. So that may happen. Suez Canal is really messing things up. My understanding is about 12% of the world's trade goes through that canal. 12% of the world's trade. That's a huge amount, and I think it's I can't remember how many barrels of oil it's. Some ridiculous number of barrels of oil. They still haven't gotten the ship out of the way. It's still plugging up the Suez now. What's going on with that? You should be able to get a bunch of boats down there and just yank the sides out. Just get the cutting torch out. Start cutting that thing up. What could possibly go wrong with that? Or just blow it up. Just get the... Yeah. Just go in there and blow it up. Got a dollar waiting on a dime there. Democrats, in fact, one of the most major things that they're talking about is that the global toilet paper supply could be hurt by this whole thing. Just be aware of that. Might want to run out and get some toilet paper real quick. Build up your stock. Because, you know, there's variants out there, too. They deal with that. So, Elizabeth Warren now wants to break up big tech to stop snotty tweets. I'm not sure what she means by that. That's just a headline. I'm just reading the headlines right now. Democrats introduced bill pushing taxpayer-funded abortion for every person in America. What? What? Every person? All right. I guess we're all going to get an abortion now. White House apparently scrubs major Biden gaffe from official transcript. Oh, that doesn't surprise me. So probably 90% of what he said had to be scrubbed. Parler claims that repeatedly warned FBI about threats well ahead of January 6th riot. Interestingly enough, I don't know if you saw again, once again, the three amigos who are really creepy looking people The guy who runs Twitter, Dorsey, and the guy who runs Facebook, he's really creepy. He's just a creepy guy. And this other guy who I think runs something else. I don't know what. What is it? I don't know. Is it, I don't know what it is. They were all called in front of, well, not in front of Congress. They were on video asking questions. Again, they're getting called on the carpet. And they had these big, long speeches. The guy from Facebook, Zucker, is that his name? I'm sorry, but that guy's... He read his entire speech, and it was all a bunch of baloney. And when they were asked a point-blank yes or no question about whether or not what their platforms influenced what happened on January 6th, none of them wanted to give a straight answer until it got down to Dorsey, and he basically said yes. But then he kind of had to, you know, some other stuff he wanted to say. And actually, nobody has been traced back to Parler or Gab. And yet they're the racist ones. They're the ones who've been deplatformed and vilified. Georgia Democrats state legislator arrested as GOP Governor Kemp signs election bill. So a Democrat state legislator, this is kind of a weird deal. This lady trying to bust into his office. I guess she made it into his office. She broke in to his office. State police came and arrested her and carted her out. And they made this big theatrical thing about it. Why are you arresting me? What are you doing to me? I'm surprised I was just waiting for her to say, I can't breathe. Hands up, don't shoot. Something to that effect. But she didn't. And they were making this big theatrical performance, like, why are you arresting her? Why are you taking her in? Why are you doing this? Because you just committed a crime, lady. And this is, of course, nothing will happen to her, even though this was as much an insurrection, act of insurrection, as what was she going to do when she got in there? It's, you know, you can ask the same questions as anybody who broke into the Capitol that day. Former CDC director says coronavirus escaped from a communist Chinese lab. So this is a former CDC director, the Center for Disease Control director. This is the thing that Fauci does not want to get out. Fauci, I think the reason Fauci is jumping on top of everything and trying to stay ahead of this game, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer kind of thing. He's on top of this. It's kind of like these weird, if you've ever seen some of the like forensic files, some of that kind of stuff where these people commit crimes. There was this serial killer down in some state, I don't know where it was, Mississippi, someplace. And this one lady who'd gotten killed. Apparently this guy had done this several times, but this lady ended up getting killed. And they were trying to do the investigation. Of course, this one officer was kind of the head investigator in that area. He was trying to do the investigation. He was also doing TV talks to reporters about how to avoid, you know, situations where, you know, because they thought this killer was out there. Come to find out, it was the cop. The cop was the one who killed her. And he had apparently done this with several women. So yeah, it's kind of one of those kind of situations, kind of where the creepy kind of thing is going on. But federal judge lifts restrictions on DC churches. Well, that's mighty big of him. Representative Byron Donalds lights Biden up for him for invoking Jim Crow in the filibuster debate. Because he said it's he unequivocally said yes. They said, do you equate this to the it's a relic of the Jim Crow era? He said yes it is. So it's racist now. Filibuster's racist. Rutgers University says students are required to get COVID vaccine, but not the faculty, because they have a union. I'd be curious to see how many students drop out of school there. Speaking of COVID, let's talk about that for just a moment. There is a very interesting trend about to happen here, and you know, Biden was talking about having Oh, here comes my bumper music, and I'm not ready yet, so I'm just going to get rid of it. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and it goes away. Biden made this statement about having, of course, we already have over 100 million people vaccinated now, supposedly. How do we know? How do we know those numbers are true? Now he's got this ambitious goal of having 2 million people vaccinated before 100 days. We're beating everybody in the world. Nobody in the world can even comes close. Well, it's because we have a much larger population than most people in the world, and we also have a we also pretty much are the ones that invented the thing. And by the way, a lot of those, all the stuff that was in place, was all done. So what have you done to actually speed it up from when Trump was in office? It's kind of ridiculous. I know some people in healthcare. They know what's going on. And they're like, no, this administration hasn't done anything to change, like make it any better. It was already getting out there and it was on the way anyway. But so now he has this big ambitious goal of immunizing 200 million people. I've got some news for you, buddy. I hate to tell you this. You're not going to make that goal. And now they'll say they have. That they will say that they have done it, because how do we know? And this administration will lie about anything anyway. And the way they do their math, they'll probably consider someone who's gotten two shots. Actually, that's, you know, because one person got two vaccinations, so that counts as two. Now, probably. The reason being, and the reason I'm saying that you're probably not going to get over 200 million people is because about half the population, well, first of all, there's a lot of people who aren't going to want their kids vaccinated. Now, there are some knuckleheads out there who will have their kids vaccinated, and this is stupid because of the rate and the immunization among young people. And this is something where the statistics and the actual science is not being, you know, people are not being educated in the actual science. They're just screaming science. It's science. The vaccination is science. No. Understanding the virus is science. Looking at the statistics, and the that's science. It's not science just to say that, well, you being vaccinated is going to cure you. You know, that's science. The thing that you have to keep in mind here is that there's about 100 million people, probably at least. They're saying about half the population does not want to be vaccinated. That's only going to be, so if that's the case, it's only going to be about 175 million people. Not even that much. 160 million people, probably. You're going to get those people, and they're already saying, I read a report 2 days ago saying that they're actually running out of, people aren't showing up. They have vaccines, and nobody's showing up to get vaccinated. They have more vaccine than they have people coming in to get it. This is already starting to plateau. So we'll see what happens with this. I'm sure that some areas will be more than others. But in general, he's not going to see 200 million people. So if he says that we now have, after 100 days, we now have 200 million people vaccinated, I'm going to doubt those numbers. I seriously doubt it. Probably got Cuomo to count for him, or somebody from the SEIU. With the people who are counting votes, that's probably the people who are counting how many vaccinations are done. So that's something to look forward to here in the next. I wasn't quite done with my headlines for you here. There are a few more. Pro-gun YouTuber arrested in Florida for recording parks official in dispute over First and Second Amendment rights. Now there is something interesting happening here. Sharon Stone actually said cancel culture is the stupidest thing she's seen. That's interesting that Sharon Stone would go there. But anyway, I didn't even realize she was still alive. Now, keep in mind, this pro-gun YouTuber guy, the gun control thing is really going nuts right now. There are some states now that are actually saying that actually taking away your ability to carry concealed or open carry, You can't do open carry now. Excuse me, but the right to bear is carry. It means to carry. And you have the right to, what's if there's some, there's, and some people say, well, you can have the right to carry on your own property. No, because there's also something called peaceable travel. You have the right to peaceable travel, to ingress and egress. And that's this whole thing. Have you ever heard of what's it called? I want to say it's a leeway. It's not a leeway. When two properties are joined together, you have to have a right-of-way to get through from one property to the next. In other words, if you had, you know, a bunch of properties all combined, you know, up against each other, you have to have a place to build a road. A variance, that's what it's called. That's the word I'm looking for. You have to have a variance. Is that what it's called? Variance. Yeah, something like that. There is a place between, there's a certain amount of territory between there that you have to have the ability to travel on. It's the right of peaceable travel, and you can do that. That's considered your abode as you travel. That's considered your, like, as in your car is considered your home, your castle, whatever. If you are in it at the time, that's your wherever you are abiding. It's in most law situations and. That's considered your home, basically, or your abide. You're abiding there, abode. So that's as you're traveling down this easement. That's the variance, isn't it? Easement is the word. There's an easement there, so you have the ability to egress, to ease through to particular. That's what all roads are built on. And of course, every time they widen the road, then they increase the easement. And before you know it, you don't have a property anymore. Which is why I live at the end of a dead-end street. So, this is a problem when they start saying you cannot bear. Open carry used to be in all 50 states. As long as you have it open and out and everybody can see it, you can carry. Now, there are some states that say, or some towns that say you can't have... bullets in your gun. Can't have ammunition in your gun. Has to be kept separately on you. Well, that does me a lot of good. I wonder if the police do that. Because, see, the reason the police officer carries a gun is to protect himself first. Not just to protect someone else. It's for his protection. His or her protection. And, of course, unfortunately, that's not always the case. But if someone's running away from you, you don't have the right to shoot them, unless you believe that they are endangering someone else's life. There's always exceptions to some of these, you know, hard and fast rules that people say. Well, he was running away from me, so I couldn't shoot him. Well, he was running away from you, but he was running towards someone with a bomb strapped to himself. He was running into a school with a bomb. Yeah, you can shoot that guy. He's running away from you, but you can shoot him at that point. So those kinds of things are all sticky wickets. Do the best you can the moment you have. So I think I'm going to call this the show because I just keep rambling on, and it's over an hour now, which I thought was going to be 30 minutes. It's over 45 minutes. So we're going to go ahead and just... cue the bumper music here. See what happens. It should be coming in any second now. You'll be able to hear it. Once again, folks, have a great weekend. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep praying for our nation. Keep praying for our leaders. Pray that they will repent. That they will not continue on their merry way. They will not give in to the deception and the lies. Well, I don't care which side of the aisle they're on. They just, none of them should be doing those things. So, once again, God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. Shabbat Shalom. Have a great night. See y'all later.